There are a few books in my life that I've read over and over until the covers have literally fallen off. James Herriot's books are among those kind tattered in my library. Maybe you read his books also. These are the memoirs of his life. It's a four-book set about his experience as a country veterinarian in England. The first was All Creatures Great and Small, and then he followed it with All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Things Wise and Wonderful, and The Lord God Made Them All. James Herriot filled my teenage years with wonderfully funny stories and witty anecdotes as I dreamed for a while of becoming a veterinarian myself. It was Herriot also whose insight into life's quandaries and predicaments put into words for me the answer to the question, do dogs and cats or any animals go to heaven? Having devoted his life to the care of animals, Herriot knew the truth of this question. He writes, if having a soul means being able to feel love and loyalty and gratitude, then animals are better off than a lot of humans. Dear James Herriot, he hits the nail on the head, not because he's lost faith in humans, but because he sees so clearly the pure natural state that we as creatures of God are made in. All of us. And the ways we humans hold back our love from one another, while animals give theirs so freely. Surely you've heard the joke about the man who turned off the lights and shut up the house, accidentally locking his spouse who was out walking the dog out of the house. The man was getting ready for bed when he heard the banging on the door. Which one of them do you think, the dog or the spouse, was happy to see the man when he got up out of bed to let them in? If having a soul means being able to feel love and loyalty and gratitude, then animals are better off than a lot of humans. We humans can be difficult to work with. We question motives. We want to win our arguments. We give advice to a sage people, sometimes throwing fuel on their fires. We also hedge our bets, just in case we might find ourselves in the wrong, or we lie. We hold back showing our love for one another for a myriad of reasons, perhaps principally because we find it vastly hard to forgive and forget. This is what our gospel lesson is about this morning. When we read that the apostles pleaded to Jesus, increase our faith, we should know that we've been dropped into the middle of a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. If we'd read from the first verse of this chapter, the part that's left out today, we'd hear that Jesus is teaching the disciples about their responsibility to one another, how to live together, and how to treat one another. Jesus tells them there will be difficulties ahead, but they are not to cause one another to stumble. They are to hold one another accountable, talking through their differences. And when one does a wrong and repents, the others are to forgive. If someone sins against you 7 times in a single day, Jesus says, and turns back to you, you must forgive him 7 times. We talked last week in Christian education class about John Calvin's exhortations in the liturgy, how he loved them so much. This is Jesus' exhortation to radical forgiveness. In reply, the apostles cry out, increase our faith. And this is where our gospel lesson picks up today. We enter the ongoing conversation right after the disciples hear how many times they must forgive. And the disciples aren't sure they have what it takes to do this. So they say, increase our faith, Jesus. Jesus replies with the words, we've often misunderstood. He tells the quick story of the mustard seed. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could uproot this tree and plant it in the sea. In saying this, Jesus is assuring them, you have more than enough faith. It takes only a tiny bit of faith. Tiny as a mustard seed, he says, and you have that. He is not saying this to test their faith, but for some reason, Christians want to hear this as a test, and we worry, is our faith enough? As a hospital chaplain, I listen to more than one person worry about their faith. I'll never forget one devout Christian woman I worked with one summer who knew more Bible verses than I'll ever be able to memorize. She was crying one day after I'd seen her many times. This day she was crying and crying. She believed she was not getting better because God didn't think she had enough faith. No, my beloved, Jesus says, it only takes a little bit, and you've shown this in your faithfulness. There's some pull on us humans to make faith into something more complex, something quantifiable. We hear the comparison of the mustard seed to moving mountains, that's Matthew's version, and we think that we have to get more and more, that we have not enough. Well, sure, there's room to grow. Jesus says that throughout his ministry. But he also says faith is powerful. It can move mountains, and it only takes a little ray of light to penetrate the darkness. It only takes a little bit of faith to make a huge difference in your life. The faith that Jesus is talking about is a word that is synonymous with trust and fidelity and confidence. So often we read the word faith in the Bible and think that it means just belief. As a matter of fact, unquestioningly blind belief, instead of the meaning that Jesus wants us to hear, and that is faithfulness. You have shown your faithfulness, your fidelity, my dear ones, Jesus tells his disciples. That is all that is needed. Keep following now. Keep journeying. Yet the disciples see their own shortcomings, and like us, they express their doubt. If we only had more faith, then we would act more faithfully. Then we would be more courageous. Give us more faith, then we'll be more confident and act more consistently to follow you. No, you're with me right now, Jesus tells him. You're here with me, following. You have it, so just act on it. One of the heroes of 20th century theology is C.S. Lewis. And he's worked hard in his writing. He worked hard to help his readers understand that faith should be thought of in terms of action, not worried about in one's head. Remember, Lewis was writing in an incredibly difficult time in human history. The Second World War bared once again the horrors of war and made the possibility of human evil undeniable. C.S. Lewis was writing to people who were processing this terror, and he helped them recenter their doubts about the mess mankind has made. Folks questioned whether or not humans who'd seen hell on earth could really have faith. And so he writes this: to have faith in Christ means, of course, doing all that he says. There would be no sense in saying you trusted a person if you would not take his advice. Thus, if you really have handed yourself over to Christ, it must follow that you are trying to obey him, but trying in a new way, a less worried way, not doing these things in order to be saved, but because Christ has begun to save you already. not hoping to get to heaven as a reward for your actions, but inevitably wanting to act in a certain way because a first faint gleam of heaven is already inside of you. This afternoon, we'll gather back here in the churchyard to give thanks to God for our beloved animals, who remind us, like C.S. Lewis, that all God's creatures have that first gleam of heaven already inside of us. We'll bless our pets, who show us the way to faith, which means having faithful lives. This is the first time that I'll attend a pet blessing without a pet of my own. Our dear cat Noelle died just before we moved to Scottsboro. It was our last pet as we owned as a family of five of us. It was not a surprise. She was old. She was 17 years old. But it seems only a day ago, and I can still picture Noelle crawling up in Rob's lap. Rob's and Noelle's favorite time of day was the late afternoon, sitting together on the back porch watching the grass grow. As much as I'd like to say I'm not a cat person, and I've said it, I have to admit that more than any other pet we've had, Noelle was evidence of the grace of a loving and faithful God. She brought playfulness and a devoted love into the anxious and worried life of our teenage daughter, Haley, when she needed it most. And after the kids were grown and gone, Noelle offered her loyalty and love to sweet Rob while I went away for 3 years to seminary, and she waited patiently to die until I came home. Animals don't have words to show us their faith. Their faithfulness is in their actions. Jesus tells us our faith is in our actions too. So be courageous in your actions. Love folks who need love. Share that gleam of heaven's light that you've been given to brighten the world. And forgive one another. This will show your faith in God better than anything else you do. You don't need to be commended for doing this. It is what God has already done for you. Thanks be to God.
Amen.